So you've been kind of busy lately.
Yeah, I have, which is a good thing. I've opened a show a couple of weeks ago, got a new audiobook gig also a couple of weeks ago. I had to run the Barley Sheet membership meeting to select next season shows, which was last week. Yeah, it's been insane for me lately, which is at least partly why we haven't recorded anything.
Yeah, maybe I'm the other part. I don't know. I haven't been pushing the issue very much, and I know you've been kind of busy, so I haven't been pushing the issue very much.
Well, I appreciate that. I kind of it's good to be busy, but at the same time, I like kind of hate that we've had to just put this thing on the back burner. But I mean, I guess that's just the situation.
And that's our show.
Nice.
So Glenn is rocking this quite incredible mustache right now.
Thank you. I guess. Yeah, so the show that I'm in, it's called I don't even were we talking about this the last time we were on the air?
I realized that we haven't recorded anything in 3 months, so I honestly don't remember.
I might have just been cast or something, I'm not sure, or I might have mentioned it in the little throwaway
Yeah,
episode
I heard
so
your little
that
throwaway minisode. I think you mentioned it there.
I didn't want people to remove us entirely if, for the three people who are subscribed. But anyway, yeah, so the show that I'm in is called The Musical Comedy Murders of 1940, which shockingly takes place in 1940.
Oh man, I thought you were going to say 1939 or something.
Nope, 1940.
Throw everybody
The
off.
title is not a boondoggle. But sorry, I'm apparently using 40s terms, not a boondoggle.
Oh boy. I might not be able
Anywho,
to keep up.
so interestingly, I think all of the guys that got cast, or maybe it was just three out of four of us, had beards, like, full beards. And beards weren't really popular in 1940.
Not so much.
Mustaches, however, were still popular then. I think beards, like, were popular a little earlier than the 40s, but anyway.
I would
So.
probably look at it as more of a late 19th, early 20th century kind of a thing, unless that was more like mutton chops.
Yeah, I suppose. But because we all had beards, they were wanting us all to shave. And I'm thinking, well, I've had the beard for so long now. I don't really want to go clean shaven. So I volunteer, I could just do like a handlebar mustache or something. And they're like, yeah, sure, that'd be okay. And what I wasn't really thinking about was that I spend time outside of the theater too. And I have to walk around like
No
this.
way.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So I've got this rather large handlebar mustache for the next 2 or 3 days,
Now,
and it is, then it's going away.
how soon before the show did you actually just go down to the mustache? I mean, I guess you had to grow it out for a period of time first.
Yeah, I mean, it was already there when I started because it was there with the beard, and I basically just let the mustache grow and kept trimming the beard so that everything, well, actually, I think the beard was a little longer too in the winter, so everything was a little longer. Anyway, I waited until I don't know. They wanted to do character headshots. As soon as they wanted to do
Right.
character
Yeah.
headshots,
That about cinches the
I waited
deal.
until the last possible moment.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do, because I just wasn't sure how it was going to look. And now I am sure, and I hate it.
Never doing this again.
Probably not, but you never know. You do stupid things for theater sometimes.
Yeah, I remembered, God, this is now going on over 20 years ago. A play I got cast in required or described the characters having a mustache. It was originally written in the 70s when mustaches were again pretty popular. But this was the early to mid 2000s, and I didn't really want to just go around in a mustache. So I requested if I could, grow in the circle beard with it, and they said fine. So a minor change of the line added the goatee.
Yeah, you've sported that look for, well, you did sport that look for a number of years too.
Yes, I did. Until I grew in the rest of the sides.
Yes, grew in the sideburns to match the Van Dyke, right? And a Van Dyke
I don't even know.
mustache. I think
What's a goatee?
A goatee is just the beard portion.
Okay, so...
if you've got the mustache with it, then it's a Van Dyke.
Okay.
And then if you've got the sides, it's a beard.
But only if it's all connected, because otherwise it would be mutton chops.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm saying if you have, like, the mustache, the chin, and the sides, that's a beard.
So what if you have the mustache and the sides, but not the chin? Because that was a look at one time.
Oh, yeah, that was, what's his name from Motorhead?
Oh, Lemmy?
Lemmy, yeah.
I can't remember now. I'll have to look up
I don't know what that's called. I'm not sure what this, just the mustache and mutton chops look, if that has a name.
Yes, that is, in fact, the look that he has. I'm looking at a picture of him right now.
Mm-hmm.
We had a summer intern at my job. This is probably a little over 10 years ago now. And he had grown out a full beard. And then one day he just decided to start kind of shaving it down in sections. And at one point,
I did that when I was going down to the mustache.
Yeah. And at one point he had the Lemmy look. I'm just calling it the Lemmy look.
I think I started with that. I think I started by shaving the chin.
Interesting. I don't know if I would have done that.
Played with a little bit. Why not?
Okay. And what did...
And now I have to decide, like, after the show's done, do I just go down to a reasonable mustache while the rest of the beard grows in, or do I shave completely?
Scorched earth.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, I've had, like, what my wife has referred to as a mustache-forward look before.
Is that just because the mustache grows in fuller than the rest of it?
I left the mustache fuller, and I just trimmed the beard in and left the mustache fuller. I don't know why. I was just experimenting, I guess.
Because, I mean, some people have the look that, you know, they have the 5 o'clock shadow, but it's more prominent above the lip than anywhere else, I guess, maybe.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what I was going with, but the mustache was a little more full than 5 o'clock shadow, but the rest of it was kind of 5 o'clock shadowy. Kind of, I mean, not much more than what I've got now. I actually have to trim the beard for tomorrow.
So how has the run been going?
It's been going really well. We had like nearly full audiences the first weekend. And then after the first weekend, we sold out the rest of the run.
Yeah, we had talked about coming, but we were a little bit too late and realized that, oh, it's sold out basically.
Yeah, I was going to warn you, but then I'm like, you know, not everybody has to. I miss so many shows and stuff for other people. I'm like, I don't feel like everybody's got to come and see me every time.
Okay. Well, no. Like I said, we thought about it, but unfortunately, we could not make it.
Yeah, you're not missing much. It sucks. kidding. Ooh. It's actually a really good show.
And if you have any comments to direct to Glenn, please email us.
You can direct that to show@backstage.link. So we keep talking about the mustache. I don't think you can really see it in here, but the hair was also a huge change because I went like
it looked like you went a lot shorter.
On the side. Yeah.
I can't see it because of the headphones, but now I can kind of see it.
Yeah, I'm taking the headphones off to show Jim. It was like, this is just one day short of 3 weeks of growth.
Wow.
So that might give you an idea. Like, it was shaved down to the skin on the sides.
Why'd you do that?
Again, 1940s.
Okay.
That was the look back then. I mean, so...
Not for everybody.
The character, I mean, I guess I can, you know, nobody's going to be, this will come out after the show's closed. So if you have any interest in going to see the musical comedy Murders of 1940 elsewhere at any point, maybe skip ahead a couple of minutes because spoilers. But my character is a Nazi in disguise for most of the play until he removes that disguise.
Okay, now it makes more sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, my character is referred to most of the time as Patrick O'Reilly, because most of the time I'm doing an Irish accent. Now, and yes, I do actually do the Lucky Charms accent.
Now, is your hair a little redder than usual for the part?
They wanted me to lighten it. The character's actually supposed to be blonde hair, blue eyes, and that's supposed to be the Nazi connection.
Spoiler alert, but that's not what Glenn looks like.
No, I have dark hair and dark hazel eyes. So I have lightened my hair. I think the light that I have on in here might actually be making it look even lighter than it is.
I couldn't tell if it was the lighting or not.
Yeah, it is definitely lightened somewhat. But weirdly, like, I've lightened everything with the same products, but the mustache is still dark.
It is. It doesn't match at all.
I think there's less gray in the mustache, and the color's getting picked up by the gray on the top, whereas it would normally pick up the darker brown. It's now picking up a light to medium brown.
He's dying for his art.
Oh, no, I've been dying for my gray hair for, good Lord, More than half my life? Yeah, more than half my life I've been coloring my hair. That's insane.
Not necessarily. You're probably not the only one.
No, I'm sure I'm not, but it just seems like so long now. Like, I didn't even really think about it, but I've been dyeing my hair for longer than I've been doing theater.
Wow.
Yeah. I started in college. I started going gray in college. And I'm like, I'm too young for this. People would say, oh, it'll look distinguished. I'm like, I don't want to look distinguished.
But
I'm
22.
Yeah. And now that it's like, now it would be fine. I'm in my 50s. Gray hair is kind of de rigueur, but now I've just gotten into the habit of coloring it, and it feels weird when I don't.
Well,
I feel like at some point I'll have to stop. Because
yeah, I guess it's a
like,
question if you're eventually going to stop at some point and when you choose to do that.
Yeah, I can't see being like, you know, in my 80s and still coloring my hair. It just seems like it would look silly.
Yeah, it might. Yeah. It might depend on the shade, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. And it is thinning, so who knows how much I'll have left by the time I'm in my 80s.
Well, then you can choose whatever color you like if you go for a toupee.
I don't think I'd do that.
I don't think I'd recommend it.
I mean, honestly, I used to feel like guys who lose their hair look good bald. Guys who don't look good bald. And I thought I fell into the don't look good bald category. But after this haircut, especially the first time I got it, because she just like really went to town shaving the sides and everything. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I will be able to pull off bald.
Well, you could shave your head after the show closes and find out.
No. I will not be doing that. Shaving the sides was more than enough for me. This is not the kind of look I like.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So there's that. And then there's the book I've been recording. I got another audiobook deal, which started, God, I guess I got it Tech Week. And then I managed to have them push their deadline back a bit before I accepted the project. And then I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this because it's not, I just cannot make the deadline. And I told them a couple days ago, so it's good with that. But I mean, what's been nice is it's like, it's probably the best book I've done the audio recording for.
Okay.
It's actually a really interesting book.
How much can you tell us about it?
Probably nothing.
Okay, that's fine.
I honestly don't know. I will probably, because it's the author hired me directly, so I can probably ask, you know, once this is all done, hey, can I plug your book? I mean,
Can you say, is it like nonfiction, fiction?
It's fiction.
Okay.
It's fiction. It's, I wouldn't just straight up call it a comedy, but it's very funny. It's quasi-political.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I can kind of say, so it was inspired by Bill Clinton's affair.
Okay.
It's not like based on that or anything. It's just inspired by it.
Okay.
And it's got like a bunch of twists and it was a really fun read.
Lengthy? How long a book?
I don't know because I don't have it all put together yet, but I would guess.
They pay you by the word?
No, it was a flat fee at the beginning, but okay. I mean, I did know how many words it was ahead of time. So the fee is based on the amount of words rather than the time it took me to read.
Right.
Yeah. I just hope I've done it justice. I actually do want to send a message to the author and be like, look, I'm totally willing to re-record whatever you feel needs to be redone because I really want to make sure I do this book justice because it's a good book.
Now, I'm assuming there are different characters in the book, so I don't know if
Correct.
You're allowed to say this, but when you approach something like this, particularly a work of fiction, do you create a character voice for all the characters in general? Or
so
slight...
honestly, I think one of the reasons that I got hired was because I did do a character voice for one of the characters that she liked. It was a Southern voice,
okay,
Southern accent.
Mm-hmm.
So and I think she liked that, and I think that was one of the main reasons she hired me. So I do... I wouldn't say that I'm like completely going into a character voice for every single character because I'm not that good, I guess.
Yeah, but you could potentially, I guess, change your inflection a little bit for a particular
yes.
character.
Yeah.
Compared
so
to a
like
different
most
one.
Of the women characters just kind of sound like this. It's just me doing a slightly higher pitched voice. And then the narrator.
You should go on NPR.
Sounded like what?
You should go on NPR.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Shweddy.
Yeah.
Talk about your balls.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, I guess I kind of did do an NPR voice with that. And then the narrator is one of the characters, so that was basically just my voice, and right, I would use yeah. my own voice for his dialogue. There was some New England accents that I may have butchered. just a couple of other just kind of, you know, slight alterations on my voice. I think I did a character kind of in this range. And maybe a few other things. I mean, like, I change it slightly just a bit, just
yeah,
enough.
That's kind of what I would figure. Rather than going yeah. out full all out a, you know, dedicated character voice for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's difficult even just changing the pitch and the tone and that kind of stuff a little bit. Sometimes it's hard because you'll have a character that, you know, comes up in the first chapter and then isn't there again until chapter 12. He suddenly comes back. I'm like, what freaking voice did I use for this character?
Oh, yeah. Right. You need to, I guess, have reference tracks available.
Yep. That's what I ended up doing. I created a couple of reference tracks for the ones that were coming back, you know, a little less frequently.
Right. Interesting. Well, I've heard or read that had to be done for, you know, professional voice actors doing, say, animated programs, especially if they voiced mm-hmm. a bunch of different characters and, you know, the voice director may have them refer to reference tracks for each character just to get them back into that delivery or cadence.
I mean, that makes perfect sense. They do the same sort of thing with the actual animation where they'll have, you know, like the character sheets where it's just a bunch of pictures of one character from all different directions.
Sure, yeah,
and
the models.
And refer back
yeah.
to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, so I have completed the recording for that. I have gotten maybe halfway through the editing for that. It was due today. So I should probably be doing that instead of working on the podcast, but we won't get into that. I told her it was going to be late. She already knows. And I generally...
You're not going to have a good alibi here because we have evidence.
Yeah. Well, generally, I don't work at night anyway.
Right.
So it's not like I'm sacrificing normal work hours time. This is, you know, it's after 9 o'clock at night. I wouldn't normally be working now.
So we're just getting Glenn sloppy seconds. Sorry, folks.
Basically. Yes. This isn't work. This is fun.
Meditation. I don't know.
Something like that. So anyway, so yeah, the recording's done. About maybe half the tracks are edited, and then I have to go through and master everything. So,
wow, that's quite a lot of burden on the technical side for what you have to do.
It really is. It's only about half of the work is recording, I would say.
Yeah, roughly. But I'm surprised if you're submitting this that somebody else would... Well, I mean, I guess you're recording all of it, but I guess I'd be surprised that somebody else wouldn't be mastering it, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that does happen.
How do you know what your target reference levels are for mastering?
So most of these go out to Amazon ACX.
Okay.
And they have a whole list of requirements for that. So I master to those requirements.
Okay. How easy is that to do?
It's not too bad. I have to do a little bit of compression usually. Mm-hmm. And then there's like usually a maximum volume mm-hmm. and somewhere where they want the average volume.
Right.
And a noise floor. What was really weird is when I was first trying to get this done, because I mastered one track just to test stuff out, I kept getting a warning that my noise floor was too low.
Okay.
Which is just like, oh, I'm sorry, my quiet is too quiet.
What a terrible problem to have.
Yeah. And the editing actually does go pretty quick. I've got my dog clicker, which I have right here. So basically, every time I make a mistake when I'm reading, I do that.
And you can see the waveform.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. When I go through the waveform, that's maximized, and that's probably going to screw up your mastering of this. But hey, sorry.
yeah, okay, great. Well, I guess I'll just have to put some compression on your track.
I guess you will.
Well, geez, Glenn, if you're doing all this, maybe I should pass all this off to you now.
Hey, it's not like I can't do
you're
it.
You're a pro.
I'm just trying to even out the workload. I do the editing, you do the mastering, which is weird. Because that means the mastering's done before the editing.
That is weird. Well, you probably still tweak things in the end anyway, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it all gets rendered from what I edit it in. But I don't usually do anything with it. Okay. Sometimes I'll tweak volume of certain parts if something's like blowing me away or you can't hear it.
Well, then I guess you're right. I'm mastering it and you're editing it.
Yeah, for the most part.
Well, now you can be hypercritical of my work and say, your noise floor is too high.
Hey, I've been doing this stuff for years now, so I've already known about it. Right. I just let you do it.
Oh, I see.
Well, I don't want to do everything.
Well, maybe we should take a break at the moment, and when we come back, I can fill you in on what I've been up to lately.
Sounds good to me. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, everybody. Look at yourself. Now back to me. Now back at yourself. Now back to me. Sadly, you are not a monster. But if you listen to Grover, you will know all about the word on, just as this monster does. Look down. Back up. Yep. Yeah. Where am I? Ah, oh, I am on a boat. What is in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It is a clam with two tickets to that thing you love. On my nose? Anything is possible when you smell like a monster and know the word on. I am on a horse. Moo. Cow.
And we're back.
We're back.
Oh, that was the other thing. Before you get into what you've been up to.
Okay.
I wanted to mention there was a part of the book where there was like somebody on the radio and they described it as sounding like Casey Kasem. So I was able to do this voice during the book.
Nice.
Which was a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah.
I was thinking of you while I was doing that voice. And this is the American Top 40. So what have you been up to, sir?
Absolutely nothing. Well, that was short.
Okay. Well, join us next week when we're...
All right. Well, that's not exactly true.
I would hope not.
So for the past month or so, I've had my own little hobby project that I've been spending hours and hours on. As you're aware, I have occasionally built guitar amplifiers.
Yes,
I am
aware.
That's what I'm doing right now, as a matter of fact.
I thought you were recording a podcast right now.
Okay. Well, not right this minute, but.
Oh, wise ass. Yes.
But over the past month, I actually ordered the kit shortly after we recorded our last episode, and it took probably about a month to arrive. So I didn't actually start it until a month and a half ago, something like that. It is a replica kit of a mid-1960s Fender amplifier, tube-driven amplifier, specifically the Deluxe Reverb model.
So how are you? You're still not done yet?
I'm pretty close. The process involved, it came with a chassis where you put all the electronic components inside of it and you install knobs and switches and other things to be able to control the amplifier when you're done. And it also came with a cabinet where you install said chassis along with a speaker. So I am more or less at the point where I've gotten all the electronic work done inside the chassis. I'm, other than a couple minor touches, I'm just about at the point where I'm ready to put the thing together, the final assembly stages. And then, well, probably I should test it out before I install the chassis.
Probably a good idea.
I can leave it on the bench and do that. And we'll see if I didn't completely ruin it or screw it up.
Well, here's hoping.
Well, it involves a lot of soldering, like every single wire from every point to every other point. And I spent hours after I was done all that just checking everything to make sure I didn't screw anything up and put the wrong connection in the wrong place. So it was a pretty time. This is the biggest amp project that I have done. And this is my third one. Each one that I've done is kind of been a step up in terms of complexity than the last.
Now, are you putting these together just because it's fun to do these, or are you like going after a particular sound with them?
A little of both.
Or both.
I do enjoy the process, generally speaking. I mean, sure, it has its tedium and frustration points at some points, but...
As does everything.
But I'm going for the end result of what this would sound like when it's done and if it's built correctly.
Okay, then. Cool.
It's, again, it's a replica of a mid-1960s era amplifier and a particularly popular one among guitar playing aficionados. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to know what all the fuss is about.
So when you've been recording your album stuff, do you live record the room sound or do you plug directly in?
I have done both at different times. Okay. The last album that I did, If It's Broke, that was pretty much entirely guitars played through amplifiers that were mic'd.
Mm-hmm.
But other occasions I've gone direct in and I've used virtual plugins for amplifiers. So I'm all over the place.
Okay, then.
There is admittedly a bit of convenience for using the plugins because, one, you don't have to worry about when it gets frustrating to try to get the microphone in just the right place you want it for just the right sound you want it. And two, it gives you a little bit more leeway to record something at 10 at night when other people are asleep in the house. So
I would think so.
There are trade-offs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm chasing a vintage sound here and I want to see how it turns out.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, whenever I think about you doing this stuff with, because I mean, you've got all of the vacuum tubes and mm-hmm. stuff like this. It's, you know, all the old school stuff.
Yep.
It always makes me think of Spock trying to put, I guess it was a communicator or something, together in City on the Edge of Forever.
With stone knives and bear skins?
Yes. Was it a communicator? What was he building? I don't even remember.
I thought he was building something to track time travel. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Wasn't he building something to be able to kind of see into the future a little bit?
Maybe. I don't remember. I guess we both have to rewatch that one.
It's been a little while, but as I recall, he was presenting information to Captain Kirk explaining about how Edith Keeler was supposed to have, spoiler alert, was supposed to have died at a certain time in the, quote, original history. But if she didn't, then something else was going to happen. So he found information about her from the original timeline somehow. And I'm guessing this equipment he bought was related to that, or this equipment that he built was related to that, if I remember right.
That's weird a little bit that we have to give spoiler alerts for something that aired in, what, 1968?
Seven? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Although I guess we gave something, spoiler alert for something from 1940. So, you know, kids.
But the other thing I will say about building the amplifier is, admittedly, it is dangerous. There are high voltages in this equipment. Vacuum tubes want to run at rather high voltages. So I think the highest in this particular amplifier is around 425 volts DC, somewhere in that neighborhood.
That is high.
Yeah. So I haven't plugged anything in yet, so nothing's been energized. But when I do get to that point, and if I find that I have to make modifications or adjustments, I got to be very careful about making sure I discharge all the energy stored inside the electronics, because otherwise bad things.
Yeah, that's right. We're so used to stuff with modern. It's like as soon as you unplug it, it's pretty much done.
In most cases, but not in these.
But old stuff used to store up more. I can remember like you would turn a TV off, like an old TV when I was a kid, and it would kind of like boo. It would like slowly release the rest of its energy.
Yep. Now, there are, you know, say practices and techniques to be able to do that. So fortunately, I know what they are.
Sure. Yes. I would imagine you're not going into this blind. I mean, you've built two other things before and you have some training and familiarity with the with that kind of work, right?
Well, I have a degree in electrical engineering, so I hope so.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
But yeah, it's coming along and very soon now I look forward to hearing how it sounds.
Excellent. We can we could put it on here. We could something.
Yes. Yeah. We could we could have a future episode where I demo all the amplifiers I've built.
Yeah. That actually sounds kind of interesting to me. I hope it sounds interesting to our listeners.
And if it does, I'm really sorry.
If it does, you're sorry, or if it doesn't, you're sorry. Because if we're gonna do it and it's not interesting.
Because that means you probably have as little of a life as I do.
Somebody's gotta cover the lifeless podcast genre. I don't know.
Well, it's its own form of geekdom, I guess.
It kind of is, yeah. And I'm sure you've all missed us.
It's sort of a retro geekdom.
Well, wait, the amps are retro geekdom.
Yes.
Not the podcast. I thought you meant the podcast.
No, I was talking about the amps.
Okay. Well, we do seem to kind of zero in on geekdom and nostalgia and that sort of.
So it'll fit right in. Great. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It will. It will for sure.
All right. Well, I can prepare that, but give me some time to finish this one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm hoping now that my show is ending that we'll get back on at least somewhat regular schedule. And I don't know what, I haven't even looked at what our planned schedule was, but I know we're way off that at this point. So I don't know if we're
2 months or so behind at least.
I think. So I don't know if we want to just pick up and finish out the season as it was, or if we're going to cut the season short and finish around the time we plan to, or cram in extra episodes. Who knows?
An amp demo could make a reasonable minisode.
I was counting on that to be a normal episode.
Well, whatever. Either or.
I don't know. We will talk about that, and we will figure it out. We have other stuff that's been in the queue for a while, so.
In the hopper.
Do we want to wrap things up here? We probably got maybe half an hour. I mean, it's
We definitely do, I would say, and this seems like as good a place as any to wrap it up.
Yeah, we do appreciate you sticking with us, assuming you have stuck with us through our dead air and through our random babbling episodes of why we have dead air. We will be back on track at some point, whether that's a couple weeks from now or a month from now or next year. I don't know. Hopefully it will be sooner.
Maybe we shouldn't hold ourselves to a schedule so much.
I mean, maybe. I feel like...
It's good to have a guide or a goal towards a release schedule. But, you know, when we recorded the last episode, I'm sure we said, okay, tune in 2 or 3 weeks from now for our next episode.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. So things happen, folks.
Well, they do. We always intend to get them out. But, you know, it's not like we're making any money off of this. And it's not like we have more than, what, 3 listeners?
We're Patreon supporters.
Yeah, we don't have any of that. Do we have any listeners besides us, for that matter? I don't know.
You got me.
Maybe occasionally. Doesn't matter. We're pretty much doing this because we enjoy it. Right?
For the love of hearing ourselves talk.
No, for the love of hearing us talk.
Yeah.
I do enjoy hearing myself speak.
Well, that makes one of us.
Hey.
Hey, I could have been insulting myself, okay?
Yeah, fair enough. I guess we'll wrap things up here and we'll come back when we come back. The plan is 2 weeks, whether a minisode or another full episode. We'd like to return, or I'd at least like to return to the fortnightly schedule, but we'll see what happens because we do get busy. We do have other things that we're doing and, you know, lives and jobs and spouses and a kid. So,
the
you
boy.
Know, it gets busy.
Yeah. And spring's coming too, so the outdoors might be beckoning.
Spring's here.
Yes.
It is spring.
Oh, yes. That's
happy
right.
Spring.
Yes, happy spring.
As of today, we are recording on the vernal equinox.
I think my calendar here is wrong because I think it's saying the next day.
Well, it's like 5 a.m. today, I believe.
Okay. Well, I would be surprised if it's incorrect. Another calendar I have said it was today, so I'm going by that.
Okay, there you go. So, in the meantime, thank you for listening.
That's Our Show is brought to you by The Backstage Group, engineered by Jim Balsarek and edited by Glenn Reed. You can find us online at show.backstage.link or email us at show@backstage.link. Please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or whatever the hell podcast platform is your choice, and spread the word by telling your friends to listen to us, assuming we keep some kind of a schedule.
Yes.
We may be back with another minisode in 2 weeks. We may not. I guess you'll just have to wait to find out.
Time will tell. It's a mystery. Tune in. Stay tuned in because you never know. Anyway, in the meantime,
until whenever that is,
that's our show. Say something.
Something? It's not starting to stink in there, is it?
I don't think so.
You froze up there, so I didn't hear all of what you just said.
What's the word?
Words. Because you're in a booth. Near.
I have near.
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 A mid-1960s Fender amplifier.
I have no idea what our outro stuff is because I don't have it in front of me. whatever. Do we need to redo it or?
I don't think so.